Test it, 1, 2. Test it, 1, 2. Now.
Man in the Ring is a mental health podcast. It's not exclusively for men, but from the perspective of two friends who are determined to stay connected despite being on other sides of the world. Don't ignore mental health. Get it into the ring. We face the same silent battles. Ding, and welcome to Men of the Ring. And I'm joined out of Northern Africa by my man, Matt. This is Sean. How are you, Matt?
Doing well, Sean. How about yourself?
Awesome. Doing great. A little tired. Stayed up with my son home from spring break last night and watched the movie Oppenheimer. Pretty cool movie. Didn't watch all of it, but because I had to get up and do a podcast.
Important things in life. Priorities. I love it.
Priorities. But didn't we talk about sleep the other we were talking about sleep and getting sleep so you don't get angry and mad and blow up at people, let's right? That's you? Well, I think that's a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
I do pretty good, like sleep. I mean, I don't know. Pretty good, but better than some. But it is definitely the hair. It narrows the hair trigger for sure. Fairly good with emotional control otherwise. But yeah, so we're going to talk today. Speaking of getting right into things, look, I think this is one of the goals of season three is we had last episode was Jake on, and a very cool interview. Gave us some insights on how his age group sees things. But I think one of the natural leads we were talking about as we were going through, I re-listened to it yesterday, and talking about relationships and maintaining relationships as a thing to keep your head straight, you know, good mental health.
Yeah.
So, it'd be interesting to see, you know, how Jake and his friends, you know, work toward keeping their thing together because they got a really cool group. I've talked to like pretty much all of his friends' parents, you know, have talked to me and be like, wow, this is impressive, like, group of kids for high schoolers, you know, as far as staying together and being cool. And for the most part, they have trouble. They completely had trouble, but, you know, they're still kids, obviously. But,
yeah.
It'll be fun to see. Hopefully they can support each other and be there for each other through the years.
Yeah.
So you...
So what advice did you give them in being able to maintain that?
Well... Yeah, I don't know if I ever gave them like direct advice to their faces. I can't remember. It was interesting because like it was sort of a thing that, you know, like these kids would always come over to my house. So it was almost like too close to my face for me to realize how cool a group it was because, you know, it's like right in front of my face because they'd always be hanging at my place. Not always, but for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of these guys, and then graduation time comes around, and then you know, these parents are like, "This is a pretty impressive friend group." And then I start thinking, like, "Yeah, you know, it really is," you know. And I think this is part of the advice of our podcast. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I've ever really gave them any advice. A lot of times they would allow me an adult, you know, to sit with them and have fun with them. And they never were able to, like, partake in alcohol at my house. That was one thing that was unique about my place. Not unique, you know, to all the other friend parents or nothing like that, but, like, unique as far as what, you know, what they were doing as kids. It actually led to some trouble sometimes because they're so bored without, you know, having beers or whatever, that they led to other trouble occasionally. But I never really spoke to them specifically about trying to keep together. But I think the podcast is kind of, maybe that's why I'm feeling like it's fun to, like, you know, address this, because they're exhibit A, right? They are kind of right in front, but it's a lesson for all of us, you know?
Yeah.
What do you see? What's that?
Did they watch Sandlot together?
Sandlot? Well, Jake and his brother and sister did for sure, but I don't know about those guys. Yeah, it's a good movie, yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, I don't know. What would you, if you had sit there, ass down and say, well, does anything come to mind, or?
You know, there's a couple things I would do, you know, if I could look back and be like, you know what, 'cause I only had a couple people I still talk to from high school.
Okay.
I think one thing I would do is try and set up, like, and it doesn't have to be like a reunion type thing, but a weekend, at least one weekend a year, and make it a tradition.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. I've heard people doing this. That's a great idea.
Whether it's camping or fishing, or we're going to go canoe. We're going to jump on the kayaking canoe for a couple of days and fish. Yeah. And, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I've heard of people, like, it's more like college age groups where they have tradition of, who was it? Shoot. The one group was really cool. They had like a weekend of like beer Olympics, essentially. But they just rented a big Airbnb, or one of the dads was rich, so they stayed at his place for a weekend. Yeah, that's doing exactly what you're saying. That sounds awesome.
Well, that's one thing I would say. Common experiences and things that they can do, set up, whether it's like, you try and stay in touch as best you can, but if you can make one weekend a year, like, hey, like, no matter what is going on, we're getting together this time.
Right.
Like, every year, first week out of school, whether it's college or high school, this week, we're going to hang out. Right.
Right.
Whether it's back in Spooner, going down the Namekagon, or
right,
trying to do something else, whether it's whatever, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But something, a tradition, like, we're going to just go hang out at this campground. We go to the same campground every year. We, you know.
Yeah, that's very awesome.
But, like, if you, that's one thing I would say. Because no matter what happens, like, yeah, send each other texts, talk a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you had that to rely on, like, you'd reconnect every year, you know?
Right.
And it'd be cool if you could set up a couple, like,
sure,
maybe one where everybody's at, but then do something else, too, like, it's spring break, or it's turkey season, or we're going to just go hunt turkeys together, or, you know what I mean? But, like,
yep.
Yeah, or spring break, kind of like what you've got, where you go to a spring training every year, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, it keeps everybody somewhat together, or, you know, like,
yeah,
this is happening,
right?
Right. So
yeah, we all look forward to it like a bunch of kids, you know, which is perfect. So in mental health, you know, day to day, life's about to get harder for that age person. Although, you know, you can argue both at the same time with life as an adult gets more hard, more responsibilities, more of a grind, but also you have a larger capacity to appreciate life as well. Do you think that's a true statement?
That you're able to appreciate it more as it gets harder?
Well, yeah, and also maybe it's even, I argue it can be actually more fun as it gets harder and older in life, even though the grind is more real.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, because I'd say the more, like, you have a ton of freedom, right?
Uh-huh.
When you turn 18, 19, 20, like,
right.
Some are married, but most aren't. Most don't have kids, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a ton of freedom. But there, and so, I don't know. I kind of think, I would think about that kind of like a sprinkler, like, you know, like just spraying all over the place where, you know.
A great analogy, yeah.
But then the more responsibility you have, like, yeah, you're not spraying everywhere, but you're filling a bucket or a trough or a lake or something. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Like that responsibility that helps the responsibility and that discipline that you develop actually increases your freedom, but it's more focused and more purposeful, mm-hmm. I'd say. And it's more fulfilling instead of just shooting all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Because I agreed with that premise, but I couldn't articulate it very well. You did a great job. I would say things in life mean more too. It also begs a question a little bit where, because I've done experiences in life where hang out with friends, have a good time for a couple of years, you know, here and there, and then some of your friends' real life is actually quite troublesome, and then that person just kind of got fade away or lost in life, where, you know, not interested in really having fun or doesn't have the capacity to have fun because real life is just kicking the shit out of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We reach out to those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Do I have experience with that? Usually I'm the one getting beat down.
Oh, okay.
So. Well, it had been that way for many years, so I don't know. But, I mean, reality, like, I've been moving and transitioning and moving and moving and moving, right? Uh-huh. Like, that it's tough, right? So, like, a lot of those deeper connections I don't have, which is fairly disappointing at this point. To recognize and trying to remedy at the same time.
Yeah. You see the lack of traditions?
Lack of traditions and lack of, I think on my own part, a lack of intentionality in staying connected in any capacity.
Right.
Because I was like, no, wherever you are, be all there. It was a quote that is just like, yep. I'm here, so this is where I'm at, you know.
Right.
And so goal-oriented and forward-focused that I never took time to really appreciate relationships and things in the past or even sometimes experiences, but particularly relationships. Like, it just moved on to the next thing, new people, new place. Start over, you know. Don't do that.
Don't you say don't do that?
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, to be fair, you know, to you, and you've had quite a few accomplishments, you know, there is a reason for that type of focus, and I think you've use it to your advantage. I mean, raising a large family and keeping it together, that's a big accomplishment. I mean, getting a lot of education over the years, that's kind of a ridiculous level in some cases. You're a very challenging thing that you've done while having young kids. So, I mean, there's reasons for, you know, your inability to stay connected. But you're saying you regret some of that a little bit.
Yeah, I wish I would have done better at it, for okay. sure.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, it's good for the most I've ever learned, you know, from in life is from what not to do, you know. So, definitely trying to set some examples for younger people on what to do in a positive, not just failure of like, let's not be that, you know.
Yeah. I know I've said this before, like, I've trying to learn this from you and actually reaching out and repairing some of those relationships, you know, and reestablishing, because they were really good and really deep for a lot of years. And then, yeah, I'm just so busy doing my own thing.
Right.
You know.
And it's interesting. Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a little bit of a challenge, and there's work to be put into it. And that takes emotional energy, you know. So if you don't have that emotional energy available, you know, especially for some people lack the self-confidence to, like, reach out. They can't quite, you know, bear the potential of lack of reciprocation, you know.
Yeah.
You reach out to a friend and you're in a vulnerable spot, and that friend, like, may not have any ill intentions at all, but, you know, is going through a hard time as well, and they can't quite give back to you, or can't quite, you know,
yeah,
return the appreciative favor, or then you're like, then you're in a vulnerable spot, like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I thought. This is.
Can
this
I,
is going
can I
nowhere.
Think of that for a second?
Yeah.
Like, that is a really interesting point, right? And it would go to an intergenerational model of friendship and relationship, right? Because if you just took, like, all 20-year-olds, right? You're talking about emotional capacity. Like, none of them have been through enough hard things. I don't want to say none of them. The majority of them have not been through enough hard things to even have the skills themselves to go. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have the skills, but then everybody who's 30 has, because they've all gone through hard things. And they've all burnt those friendships, you know, because when they were 20, 21, 22, like, their friend came to them with a hard thing, and they're like, whatever, man, like, I'm just trying to pay my car bill, or I'm worried I got this girl pregnant, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I've got my own things. I don't have the tools to help you or the capacity to even know where to start. Right. But if you had a friend who was 30, 35, 40, someone that you could talk to, they would be much better suited to connect with and help them. And then also then that 20-year-old isn't hurt, right? They aren't hurt by their other friends.
Sure.
And they gain some skills to be able to make it through it. I don't know.
Yeah. That's challenging to get good friends like that, that are, you know, older.
Yeah.
But it brings up a good point, and it also brings up hope for people that are in a spot where they're like, damn, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah. What is going on here?
Yeah, the capacity to listen as a friend is a challenging thing. I mean, And people, you know, some people are just struggling day to day, and they would want to, like, be in contact, but, you know, they could be ashamed of where they're at, or, like, you know. Because there's varying levels of honesty, right? You know, like, you get the super fake social media people that are just presenting a happy face, and the reality of a lot of people is like, oh, I'm not necessarily proud of where I'm at, or some stuff I'm going through that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
So that kind of does kind of, although that is the common theme for everyone, you know, like, life is not easy, you know.
Yeah.
If you just got everything together and feeling great about everything, that's pretty, that's the anomaly, really. But people, you know, evil's very intelligent about keeping people down and lying to people, and that's kind of also part of what we were talking about the last few weeks, about controlling, you know, your thought processes and, like, not listening to shit in your head that's not productive, you know.
Yeah.
All right, and that's kind of it for today, this week. It's an abbreviated but cool segment. Anything else further you're interested in adding to that?
No,
Oh, you got a roll, hey?
That's all I've got for today.
That's all you got for today. Okay, well, that was cool. I appreciate being vulnerable like that. And all right, there's a lot of places we can go from here, but we'll see where it is next week. All right, thanks for your time, man. Good luck. Good luck today.
See ya.
All right, see ya.
Okay, that's been this week's episode of Men in the Ring. Thanks for tuning in. If you know of anyone that could benefit from this podcast, please ask them to subscribe and check it out. We're trying to spread the word. All right, talk again next week.
Throw these warm blankets off of me. Set myself a cold and shivering. All these things that I'm confident about. Pretend they're my friends, but in the end they lie. Pretend they're my friends, but in the end they lie. Bend it on my soul, like every single thing. I kinda feel okay, but on the ground I lay, feeling self-righteous as I decay. Please turn my face around so I can see your wear. Turn my face around so I can see.